Struggling to communicate with your co-parent? That's why Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger was created. It's a communication tool for all co-parents, but especially those who are in high conflict situations. I always tell co-parents who ask, sign up for Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger as early as possible in your separation and divorce process, because you never know when you're going to need a more robust communication tool that allows you to set boundaries on the communication you have with your co-parent. Are you getting messages that look like war and peace? It's not a text message. It's the length of a novel. Set the brief chat limitation in the app and keep those messages short and to the point. It's about the kids, right? Keep the focus there. You can also limit the number of messages you receive in a day and other nice a la carte features meant to bring sanity to your life. You deserve that, and your kids do too. Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger in the Apple App Store and soon in the Google Play Store. Go to peacefulparentapp.com for more information.
This week on Peaceful Co-Parenting Podcast.
I'm very good at telling other people's stories and giving them that voice. So it's like, why not do that in a book form and let adult children in divorce reflect back on what it was like for them and what their parents could have done maybe a little better or could have offered them during that time and what they did right, so that parents today, either thinking about embarking on that difficult journey or are already there, you know, have some sort of guidelines into the perspective of what their child is experiencing and feeling and what they need. So,
welcome to Peaceful Co-Parenting Podcast, where we discuss strategies and tips to improve your co-parenting situation, especially if it's high conflict. I'm Bianca Ballo, co-parent, mother, and entrepreneur, creator of Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger app, and believer in turning challenging situations into something positive. This week, we're joined by Kimberly Ewerts. She's a mother and an author. She wrote the book titled Family Redefined: Childhood Reflections on the Impact of Divorce. In her book, Kim interviews people who reflect back on the time of their parents' divorce. It offers the child's unique perspective and valuable lessons we as parents can take and use today as we're navigating how to co-parent best. It's a glimpse into what our children need from us during a challenging time. Kim, thanks so much for being with me today. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Bianca. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show. You captured the book perfectly in your description. Thank you.
It's my honor to have you. This book is close to your heart, as you mentioned, and was written many years after your own divorce. Why write the book now?
I think sometimes we have to take that time, however long it takes, to figure. I knew I wanted to put something out there. My son and I, you know, had talked about maybe a children's book or something. I just knew that there was always someday I wanted to get a resource out there to divorced parents that would help them and their children. I just didn't know the best way to do that. And then over the years, I've kind of honed my journalistic skills and I'm a pretty good interviewer. And it's like, I'm very good at telling other people's stories and giving them that voice. So it's like, why not do that in a book form and let adult children in divorce reflect back on what it was like for them and what their parents could have done maybe a little better or could have offered them during that time and what they did right, so that parents today, either thinking about embarking on that difficult journey or are already there, you know, have some sort of guidelines into the perspective of what their child is experiencing and feeling and what they need. So that's how it all came about.
That's wonderful, because I think as parents, we so often just see things from our own perspective. Of course, that's totally normal and natural that we would only see it from our own perspective. And yet our children are having their own unique experience and their own feelings about it. And our behavior is impacting that. And so hearing that is so critical that we can learn from that. So was it your son who inspired you to write the book, or was this just something that you knew you wanted to do?
Well, he's always been a big support system for me. And he's like, yeah, you know, get something out there. But neither of us knew exactly what that was. So when I came up with the idea over 5 years ago, it took 5 years to write the book. And I, you know, shared that with him. He's like, you've got to do this. you know, so, and then he actually is featured in the book. He has his own chapter.
Okay, right.
I thought that was very important to give him that voice, to let him tell his, he was interviewed just like all the others, you know, the same questions. So I think that's a unique part of it, that it comes from him.
So you mentioned that he has his own chapter. How's the book laid out?
It's 10 chapters. Each chapter is a personal documentation by the adult child reflecting back on, usually it starts when they first found out about their parents' either separation or divorce. And it takes you all the way through their life up into the point where I interviewed them. So you can see how some people are in their 50s, some are, you know, a bit younger. The first chapter, Lisa, she was 6 and now she's nearly 56. So almost 5 decades later, you know, she's expressing how still the impact of what happened during the divorce and how her parents handled it. Her mother was stellar. She was the, you know, epitome of what you want a co-parent to be. You want them to be supportive and connected to the child. And then unfortunately, she had a father that was almost, you know, abandoned her during the first few years. So his presence was no longer in her life. And even though they had always had a tumultuous relationship, even at the age of 6, she yearned for his love and just his to be able to connect with him.
You make a great point, and I'm sure it's threaded throughout the book as far as how the parents handled the divorce directly impacts how the child then perceives the divorce, and also just how, if they're going to thrive and do fine, or if they're going to struggle.
Yeah, there's always going to be some difficulty, some level of difficulty involved, you know, for any age. Doesn't matter when the parents decide to do this, whatever age their child is, there's going to have an impact on them. But how they choose to co-parent with one another and what they put out there for the child, still they're role models, right? We are all role models as parents. So you don't, you know, dismiss that responsibility. In fact, you need to step up all the more and be even more responsible and respectful and show, you know, emulate that to your child to know that, okay, maybe mom and dad's marriage didn't last, but we're still connected as a family. Mm-hmm. They need that reassurance, and they need to know that the decision to end the marriage doesn't mean that either parent doesn't love them anymore, because they're going to think that. All the family therapists I spoke to over and over again, you know, repeated that same thing. They're going to take it internally, because a child's world is kind of, mm-hmm. you know, naturally centered around them. It's very introverted. So anything that happens outside of it, they're going to look at it as though, well, I had a part in this. What did I do wrong? So you want to continually reassure them that it had nothing to do with you. It's mom and dad's decision, but we both still love you.
Yeah. I think you make an excellent point that we as co-parents or just people going through a divorce and on the, in the midst of maybe developing into a co-parenting relationship need to be even more healthy and in the, like you said, respectful in the way we communicate and how we're handling our own self-care. And yet this is one of the most difficult times that we're going through. And so it's really hard balance to be top-notch, right, during one of the hardest things you've ever been through. So difficult. And question for you, though, I've often wondered if the age of the child, you know, if it's better or to, say, go through a divorce when the child is very young. Like, I know you mentioned a 6-year-old child that's featured in your book, but even younger than that, and I'm not sure, did you see that in your interviews where younger children, say, were a little more resilient or maybe there was less of an impact than, say, someone who was 13 or at a very like challenging time regardless, right? Or just
right.
Did you see that in your interviews?
I did see it through my interviews, because I not only interviewed children that were, you know, adult children that had that take place when they were like 5 or 6 years old. I interviewed the last chapter kind of breaks format because it's told from the perspective of a mother who went through a divorce when her daughter was 10 months old. So at 10 months old, you think, and she, as she did, how can this have an impact on your child?
Right.
You know, she's too young to understand. But then in my research and all my interviews with the professionals in family and family and parenting, you know, therapists and professionals, they all reiterated over and over again that there is no age that a child will not, you know, there won't be an impact to them. Mm-hmm. Because even from 0 to 2, there's that instinctual need for connection and receiving something from the parents when they're, you know, they need, have to have their needs met. You know, that's your basic child that, you know, they're wet, they need to be changed, they're hungry, they need to eat. And so the response of the parent is, should be immediate. But if you're enmeshed in, you know, a horrible situation as divorce can be, then you're not emotionally and sometimes not physically there for the child. You don't mean to be, you know, distant from them or anything negative. It's just you are physically and emotionally, you know, affected by what's happening in your world. So how can it not carry over into them? So she explained that now that she's remarried, the woman whose husband left her when her daughter was 10 months old, she's remarried, has 2 children, and they're like 4 and 6, and her oldest daughter is 10, and she can see differences, specific differences, in like her oldest daughter needs to be very organized and have a schedule. And she says she believes that's because of the back and forth of the transitioning from, you know, dads to moms, and that she's experienced pretty much all her life. And so, you know, the therapists all agree that it's going to have an impact. So there's not, it's not like wait till the kids are older and we can get divorced, because then, you know, they don't care. I interviewed a gentleman who was in his mid-20s. He lived outside his parents' home. He was on his own, but his mom just left during the night one night and took off and left a note for her husband, a note for his sister, his only sibling, and left nothing for him. No explanation, no sorry, no anything. And he still, 15 years later, still carries that impact with him. So I don't think there is a time that's right to do it. And the longer you stay in pretty much a toxic environment, or you leave your child in that toxic environment, because there's frustration, there's anger, there's all of this, you know, underlying feelings that they're picking up on it, whether you realize it or not. So do what's best for all of you. And, you know, rather have 2 happy separate homes than 1 very unsettled home. That's the best environment for the child.
I bet you some of the interviews you had were challenging to hear some of these stories, and it was like heartbreaking. Okay. I'm like, my heart is breaking and I'm hearing you tell me these stories. Right. And but like as a reader, when you're a co-parent and you're already there, you're in the situation where you've left and you probably already feel a little bit of guilt around that, and you're trying to manage, like, what are you going to get from a book like this? Because it does sound heartbreaking to read.
Yes, it does. But the overall theme of the book, I believe, is hope. The fact that these individual stories do tell heartbreaking stories, but throughout them all, there was a support system from sometimes with, you know, from a parent and sometimes outside support. One gentleman had a youth pastor that came into his life right when he needed him in the midst of his parents' divorce. With that help, they've all been able to get through it, not only get through it when they were younger, but now that they're older, they have better perspective of it, and they have hope and they flourish, and, you know, they have move forward in their lives. And many of them are very successful in the fields that they're in, and they're happy. They're honestly happy to know that they have survived that, to know that they came through that difficult time, but they learn from it and they move forward. And I think that's the key, is to know, don't think there's, you know, not a happy ending, because my son and I went through that difficult journey and it was difficult. And his chapter explains how difficult, but we're all the stronger for it today. So you are not alone. That's another, hopefully the message too that I get out there is please don't think you're alone in this, because feeling alone during that time and, you know, that you're somehow to blame for this. I mean, that's how I felt. I know what that is like. And to have had a resource where it's like, okay, it's not just me. Other people have been there, done this, and gotten through it and come out on the other end better for it. So that's what I'm hoping to convey.
That's great. That's beautiful. And I would also say, as a co-parent with a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, it's easy to like put your head in the sand and not be eyes wide open, that you need to be the best person and mama that you can be. And part of that is learning from other people's experiences, however painful it might be to read some of those heartbreaking stories. What you get on the other end is information on how you can do it better and how you can be better. And the best that you can be for your own children is all what it's about. That's a gift that you're giving to everyone. So thank you.
Well, thank you. But analogy that I like to use that maybe makes sense to people is, you know, on the airplane, they always tell you if the oxygen masks fall, if you're with a child, you don't put the mask on the child first, you put it on you, because you have to be safe to provide safety for them. So you have to take ownership of your own health and safety to be able to be there fully for your child. So I thought, and I share this in the book, all throughout the book, that I felt I wasn't at all my best. I was at my worst. So I didn't think that I could be of any help to my son. So I, you know, sent him to therapy at school, sent him to outside therapy, thinking, you know, these are the people that can help him. And he reveals in his chapter, he's like, I just needed my parents to be there. I didn't want these strangers.
Right. Right.
Because he would hide under the table at the one therapy class. He would hide under the table and wait till he saw my feet at the door. And then he'd come out. So he just wanted a connection with me. And he, of course, he wanted it with his father, who that wasn't going to happen. So he needed me more than ever. And I failed him. So if I can help people understand that, you know, still be there for them, even if you feel like you can't give them anything, you're giving them you. And that's what he needed. Just that time together, even if you just sit and hold each other's hand or just hold each other, mm-hmm. Let them know you're there. And that will be a huge help to them. And I think to you too, you know, I wish I had done it.
Yeah, I also do think that sometimes we can be in a little bit of denial or want to be in denial because we're so much trying to manage our own situation or we're busy or we're doing the best we can, quote unquote. But I think reading a book like this can help us to just be a little bit more eyes wide open of what we can do. And even if it's as small as holding, you know, your son's hand and being more present, can make a really big impact. So
if I could just add one thing in regards to that, I think it's very important for parents to know that it's okay to get therapy for themselves. The therapist I interviewed all said not all children need or want it or even understand that process. And if they haven't been encouraged to talk about their feelings in their own home environment, to take them to a stranger's office or to a group of, you know, children and say, okay, share your feelings, it's going to be foreign to them and they're going to back away from it. But you as the parent can get the therapy and the counseling that you need, whether it's a professional counselor or just, you know, a support group of friends that are going, maybe going through the same thing. But as long as you have outside resources that are helping you, then you can then help them and let them know that. Let them know it is not their responsibility. It's not the child's responsibility to take care of either mom or dad, that mom and dad have their own resources available to them. I just feel that's really important for everybody to understand. I know it's simple, but I think we lose sight of that.
Oh, that's an excellent point, because it's not the first time I've heard that, where the first step isn't sending your child to the therapist. It's actually getting therapy yourself and then improving how you're acting. And many times that can actually help improve the child's situation, right? As we've discussed.
Perfect. Yes.
So,
exactly.
But yeah, I love that you did interview a lot of professionals along with the adult children of divorce. So how does it all come together? Because I know you mentioned that each child has a chapter in the book, and then how are the professionals like weaved in there?
Well, they are according to whatever that child is going through in their particular situation. Any and all remarks from the therapist are, as you said, weaved into their story to explain maybe what the child was actually feeling or why the child was feeling that way, and how if your child is experiencing similar feelings, that, you know, what you can do to help them. And then at the very back of the book, after the 10th chapter, there is a weighing in with the experts. It's a Q&A. And these were all the additional questions I had asked the experts that maybe didn't fit into the chapters, but I still felt that they were important to put out to inform parents, because they're very common questions that I think divorced parents, you know, at least ask themselves. So this way you can read what the professionals are saying about those situations. And I think that's a big help. It would have helped me. I would have loved to have that.
I love that about the book, that you've got the Q&A in there. So can you get specific? Like, what are some of the takeaways from this book that parents will find helpful? Like, did you pick certain people to interview because each situation was different, or?
No, honestly, I just started with one person. Lisa is the first chapter of the book, and she was my very first interview. From there, word got out, and I asked everybody and told everybody what my project was, and said, if you know anybody. So I never knew the stories that were coming to me until I was sitting down and talking to them. So it's amazing to me that they opened, you know, sometimes perfect strangers opened up their lives to me, and I'll be forever grateful to them for doing that. But they felt that this was important to get out there. Each one is different, and many of them do hit on a lot of familiar topics that divorced parents and their children go through, like abandonment issues, transitioning from one home to another, and how you can make that transition work better for the child. Let them have a say in, you know, what color the room should be in their new room, or what kind of, you know, decor they would like. And it's also important for the co-parent to say, yeah, bring pictures of, you know, mom and or dad with you and set those up in your room, or, you know, gifts that they gave you that you want to bring here. Don't alienate the other parent from your child, because that's their parent. So you don't want to alienate, you want to support the relationship all the more when you're separate. That's what the child needs. Those are just a few of the topics that are discussed. The therapists weigh in on that. So I think that alone is very helpful.
How is this book different from other books that are on divorce?
Well, when I was doing my research, I found only one other book where you actually had comments and quotes from children of divorce, you know, telling you how they felt. And it's called Voices of the Children of Divorce. And it's by Dr. David Royko. And I interviewed him. He was wonderful. And it came out in 2000. And he said that he has not seen anything that's given the children a voice since that publication came out over 21 years ago. So he was very supportive about my book and said, you know, this needs to be out there so parents can understand. That's what I saw, what was missing. And it's like, let the children have that opportunity to tell parents what it was like.
Yeah, I think so often, again, we're so wrapped up in our own perspective that we almost disregard our children's experience. And that can be difficult to tease out when you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Right. So like now what you've done is kind of go back and interview them later on to get that perspective that seems to be, you kind of cover kind of universal topics that many co-parents and are experiencing. So is there anything else you would like to add, or any last thoughts about the book, or anything you wanted to make sure to mention today?
Oh, I would like to do a little bragging about my son. He designed the cover of the book, which I'm very proud of. So not only does he have a chapter in the book, he is the book cover designer.
Okay. Is he an artist or?
Yeah, he's always been very talented artistically. He can draw, he can write, he can paint, he can do video. He pretty much does all the art.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm a proud mama.
It sounds like it was a bit of a team effort because he was supportive. He's in the book and he did the cover artwork.
Yes. And he read every chapter, and there were so many versions of each chapter at least 10, 20 times. So he was my sounding board and my proofreader. And I want to definitely say thank you to my very first copy editor who helped me figure out, because I had all the stories compiled and I knew they were important and I knew it needed to get out there, but I knew it wasn't right. It was like, it's not presented the best way. And I don't know what that is. And she mentioned that, she's like, well, why don't, instead of you telling what happened, why don't you put certain things in scenes? Then you're showing, you know, show, don't tell, that famous writing thing. And so that's why each chapter opens with a scene. So I'm hoping to capture the reader's attention and bring you, the reader, into that child's world so that you can kind of walk through their life with them and have a better understanding of what they were going through and what your child might be experiencing or something similar to it. Help you make sure that your child doesn't go through that. That's the important thing. You know, that you can learn from all those other parents' mistakes and not do that and not have your child experience that. And that will be huge in and of itself.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So what's next for you?
I was seriously considering a second book, maybe a follow-up to this one, you know, because there's so many stories, or maybe talk to younger children and let them tell their stories. And then thanks to your podcast, you interviewed Dr. She was the co-founder of the Banana Splits, which is an organization that sets up support groups for children of divorce, as well as children of grieving children who have lost their parents in school systems throughout the United States, to giving those kids a place where they can meet and connect with one another. And I was just like blown away when I heard her talk, and because you featured her. And it's like, I need to make that happen here because I'm on the West Coast in California. And as far as I can tell so far with my limited research, I can't find anything near us that offers that. So I want to bring that at least to my area and to the school systems here, because kids need it. So I'm going to be devoting my time on that.
Nice. That's wonderful.
But Banana Splits is the name of the support group. So I was amazed to even know that existed, and then kind of dismayed to think that it hasn't made its way over to the West Coast. So we got to change that.
Well, I hope you'll keep me posted on your efforts and also possibly a new book.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. I love resources that can help us reflect and grow in our co-parenting journey. And you brought us a really good one today. So thank you so much. And I wish you the best of luck with your book and also moving forward, maybe with another one.
Maybe. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Peaceful Co-Parenting Podcast. I hope the time was well spent and you got a lot out of the episode. If so, please rate and review the podcast. I would really appreciate it. If you're interested in sending me a feedback message, asking a question, suggesting a podcast topic or guest, or downloading Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger as a tool for better communication with your co-parent, go to peacefulparentapp.com or see the links in the show notes. Have a great week, and as always, stay peaceful. This episode of Peaceful Co-Parent was brought to you by the Equal Shared Parenting Program. Do you find that you're ever in need of someone to talk to, like a counselor or a therapist? How about legal advice? If you've looked into it, you know these services can add up financially. That's why the Equal Shared Parenting Program exists, to help parents be their healthiest, holistic selves. It's a membership program that offers discounted and free services like behavioral health, free tax prep and advice, and access to financial education and credit counseling, all for the low price of $29.99 a month. Learn more about the Equal Shared Parenting Program by going to equalsharedparentingbenefits.org/PCPM. The PCPM stands for Peaceful Co-Parenting Messenger.
That's equalsharedparentingbenefits.org/PCPM.